Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today Herb Bishop. And he has someone else that has come in. I'm going to let Herb introduce her.
Thanks, Mike. This is Chantel Grover. Chantel, say hello.
Hello.
So you two have had a shared experience in a country that many people aspire to visit. Some make it, some don't. So let's talk about Peru and Herb and Chantel. How was it that you decided, of all the places in the world, to go there? Let's start with Chantel.
Okay. Well, I never actually really thought too much about going to where I went in Peru. I always kind of wanted to go to Machu Picchu like everyone else, you know?
Right.
But I had the opportunity because of a really close friend and coworker who she goes to the same church as me. And her parents have spent so much time in Iquitos doing mission work. And so she invited me to go along. And there was a group of 8 to 10 of us from Alaska that went down and drilled wells in the more impoverished parts of Peru. So it was really cool.
And Herb, then how did you hop onto this train?
Well, interestingly, we were talking and found out that we were both going on volunteer trips to Peru with different groups. And so we pooled our knowledge and found that we had a lot of shared experiences. And so it was kind of fun to see what was going on. I went with a group called Be the Change Volunteers. They're headquartered here in the United States in Columbia, Missouri. And a group of 14 of us from around the country went to Peru, outside of Iquitos also, to help build a school. And we thought that was really an interesting and worthwhile endeavor, and that was quite fun.
So you were there at the same time?
Different times.
Different times. Mm-hmm. When were you there, Chantel?
I was there in April of this year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I ended up there in October.
Oh, so you had a view of Peru at different seasons,
yes,
so to speak. What was it like in April?
As far as the weather?
Yes.
It was probably in the mid to high 80s and pretty humid, but I think we actually lucked out. There wasn't too much rain to make it really, you know, hard to breathe in the humidity and everything. But what about you?
We were there at the end of the dry season, which had quite an effect on our travels because the rivers were quite low. So
wow,
we had to transfer boats as we went upriver. We started out in Iquitos, took about a 3.5-hour ride, and had to change boats and continued on to where we were staying and where we were working.
So for those people who are not familiar with the geography of Peru, were you in the same area, and you're mentioning river? And I think of Peru and Machu Picchu and mountains. Were you in the same place, different places? And what was that like? Chantel.
Machu Picchu is kind of what you think of when you think of Peru, big mountainous Andes and everything. But we, Iquitos is kind of in the river system. So
right,
you're down, I didn't see any mountains where I was, just jungle. And you're going through it wasn't the Amazon River, but it was starts with an N, the Nanay River, swirling through that. And it was pretty different than what I imagined it to be, but very cool to see that portion.
Was that similar to your experience?
Yes, similar. Iquitos is the sort of the gateway to the Amazon in Peru. Peru is three main geographic areas. There's desert along the coast, there's mountains, the Andes, and then the Amazon.
Right.
And so, we flew into Iquitos, headed up we went upriver, up the Amazon River, and then up the Tahuayu River to a village called El Chino.
Mm-hmm.
El Chino, named after the Chinese who were there during the rubber trade. I learned all these interesting things. It was fantastic. The trip we went on had a lot of people and a lot of knowledge, so you couldn't help but learn new stuff.
How long were you there in Peru?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. And Chantel?
I was only there for 8 days.
8 days. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in preparation for the trip, we're thinking about listeners who are saying, well, maybe I'd be interested or do this kind of thing. Well, what kind of preparation did you two do, Chantel?
I was actually kind of fortunate to have the trip sort of pre-planned as far as where I'd be staying. And we were staying at a place called MEPI in Iquitos, which is an acronym in Spanish, and I'm sorry, but I don't know what the four words were. But it's a mission base that they have a Bible school, and they teach ministers to preach in the villages and stuff, the local people. But we stayed there, and what I would say to someone looking forward to going to Peru would be get your shots, lots of mosquitoes and things like that to be concerned about. But if you're interested in a trip like we went on, just to be ready to get your hands dirty.
Right. Yeah. Did you have Spanish of any sort? Is the Spanish the language used primarily where you were?
Yes. We had interpreters. So definitely it would be, I would have wished that I knew more Spanish because we did a lot of work with children.
Right.
And then I can do the basic greeting and how are you, how old are you, you know, but then once it got past the small talk, they'd be looking at me intently, wanting to get to know me and saying things to me. And it just, even though we had an interpreter, it took the personal aspect out of getting to know these kids. So I wish I would have been able to just be alone with them and really have a real conversation. But
and Herb, how about your experience language-wise?
Language-wise is pretty straightforward. The major language is Spanish, the local language. I can't remember the name of it now. I'm sorry. And English was spoken by all of the people affiliated with our project.
Okay.
Our project was similar. Everything was pre-planned and prepared. Be the Change Volunteers is a terrific organization that helps provide these builds for schools. And they have quite a lot of requirements, so the community is invested. But for the traveler or for the volunteer, it's a simple matter of signing up. One fee includes everything, room, board, travel, including airfare. They make all the arrangements, and it was a joy to work with them because they're very efficient. And we were also quite fortunate in this particular site, El Chino Village. It's downriver, just a few minutes, 15, 20 minutes from Tahoyo Lodge, and this is a prominent eco-lodge run by Amazonia Expeditions, and they partner with the village and a third group called Angels of the Amazon, and the cooperative nature of all that allows the team, there are 14 of us, to stay at the lodge. So this was an unusual circumstance allowing us to stay in accommodations rather than staying in homes or at the school or in the village.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about you, Chantel? What were your accommodations like?
Our accommodations, I was actually very surprised to be – I felt pampered, honestly, because I was ready to – you know, being from Alaska, you're kind of ready to rough it. And I got down there with a tent, and I was ready to be camping in the Amazon. But we only did that one night, and actually the town that we were in, we were drilling a well, two wells, actually, in Chiriata. And we did a medical outreach as well, and they put us up. They opened up their church to us and just let us put our tents on the floor of their church. So,
makes it a lot drier.
Yeah, way drier. So that was nice to not be wet on the floor in the tent. But as far as our bunkhouse went at MEPI, our headquarters, it's also through Amazon Outreach is the program that funds this. And we had a little bunkhouse and you know, we just had bottled water, and that was a huge blessing. You kind of don't realize how much you know, brushing your teeth, you need bottled water. You can't use the faucet. So,
How about the rest of the story in terms of food, Chantel? What were you eating?
They ate a lot of chicken and rice. So that's what I ate. What about you?
We had I hate to say this, we had a wide range of gourmet meals.
Oh, my goodness, at the lodge.
Of course, all the food is brought in by boat, and so it's primarily provided by the local farmers. And the local farmers around the villages, they sell their crop, and so we had fresh watermelon and a lot of fresh fruit and so on.
Cool.
Yeah. So along with that, of course, the natural question is, did either of you experience discomfort as a result of being there? You had shots, et cetera, but any sickness whatsoever, Herb?
No, everything was real good. They do recommend, of course, that you take some medication, Cipro for traveler's diarrhea, that kind of thing. And the river water is used primarily for everything except drinking. Mm-hmm. So showers, washing, clothes washing, all that is all river water. Drinking water is bottled and brought in. I think the the general accommodations and the support system was phenomenal. The community has had this particular program now in place for a number of years, and it's a 7-year project. It'll end in 2020. So the community is used to people coming in because two teams come in each year.
Right.
And they the community also rallies around providing a nice luncheon and all kinds of things. And so, no, there's no discomfort in the work. The work or the stay. The work is paced so that everybody, first of all, is safe. Secondly, they do what they're capable of doing, and no one is asked to do anything that's beyond their ability.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with local people there, and there are some trained carpenters and variety of people who have skills, labor skills, that help with that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the community members, especially the families who have children in the school, are asked to contribute to the building, and so each family is required to, for example, put together some thatched roofing material, and that's their contribution until a steel or a metal roof can be put on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chantel, food?
What was that?
Food in terms of what you ate and any illnesses, et cetera, that came as a result of being there?
Thankfully, none of us were sick. But kind of different from your experience, Herb, was that the villages that we were going to weren't used to seeing people outside the village. And so that was why it was actually really cool to go, and the kids were so happy to see outsiders, and they knew what we were there for, and we had a team of medical people from Lima, so they were local as far as they spoke Spanish and knew how to help them best. And what I liked the most was that we weren't going in and giving them things that they can't sustain. The things we were bringing were like toothbrushes and things that they didn't have access to because it's too expensive to get a boat to go to another village for them. Was it like that where you were, where it was really far from everything else? They hadn't really even been to the other villages?
Right. The village that we were in was a major stop on the river, but it's 4 hours from Iquitos, mm-hmm. and there isn't much traffic. There's one more village further upriver that we did manage to get to that was more isolated.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular village has had this group of volunteers come in. They don't have other groups or anything like that, so they're used to that group being mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm. Mike Malevsky here with Radio Free Palmer, and I've been talking with Chantel Grober and Herb Bishop. We've been talking about two separate trips to roughly the same place, a portion of Peru. I think listeners have now had an idea of where you went, what you experienced while you were there. I guess the next piece that's most significant is, what did you take away, having gone there and spent either 8 days or 3 weeks? As you reflect upon the experience that you had, I know that you were contributing something to the communities you visited, but those communities obviously had an effect upon you. So Chantel, how are you different?
I felt very different, actually, because of the kids really impacted me and how they don't have anything. They wear the same clothes every day, and we're used to, kids in America who we have so much here.
Mm-hmm.
And what I just thought was really amazing was how joyful people can be with so little. And that gave me more than I could give them, really, to just be able to see. It just reminds you, your basic needs are met, and then you can be happy with what you have.
Herb?
I wanted to mention, I thought of the language.
Okay.
It was Quechua is the third language, and the main language there, that's the home language. What I took away is a multitude of things. I think first and foremost, the organization, the Change Volunteers, I learned a lot from them, and I very much appreciated their ability to enter into a relationship with the community to not only build things but also to develop relationships between them mm-hmm. and with each other. That was a lesson for me, because this is the first organization that I've worked with on a volunteer basis like this that has sustainable values within the same community, that people begin to see how that building of the school impacts the community as a whole. Mm-hmm. So the other thing I took away was the knowledge that this community was changing. And based on people who had been there before and some of the members of the community we got to know and talk with, that it has developed a cohesiveness that they've rallied around this school. There's quite a history there, and that history is changing the social dynamics in of this community and the values that they hold, based on the information I got from both the villagers and the team that we worked with. The third thing is a little. I had been to the Amazon before at a different place nearby, and I was asking our guides a little bit about this because we stayed a few extra days to see the area. It's one of the most biodiverse areas in Peru. It's next to Mano Preserve, which is a national preserve, an international site. And this particular place is also a preserve where we stayed, and there's a research center there. But what I learned was that despite the high biodiversity, the sheer numbers are decreasing pretty rapidly in terms of fauna, flora, and just all the different things that you see there, which we did get to see a lot of. And I was both, you know, saddened by that, but also heartened by the fact that people are making great effort to try to bring that biodiversity back through various efforts. You had asked earlier about the diseases and so on. I think it's important to point out that in this particular area of the Amazon, there are no reports of any malaria or Zika or any of those diseases or yellow fever. That's not to say that it might not happen, but they just haven't had any cases for many, many, many years. And they take great pride in pointing that out, that despite the CDC's warning about Peru in general and the Amazon in particular, malaria is clustered around certain areas and has to do with humidity and water and so on. But this particular area, we didn't have those diseases, although we did prepare with shots and anti-malaria medication because it is in Iquitos, which we had to travel through.
And as you're describing your experience in the smaller communities of Peru, I'm trying to go back a bit and think, as I look at the map, I see Peru, I see the mountains, I see Machu Picchu. I've talked to many people who have visited there. There's obviously an urban portion of Peru. There are cities, and then there are the villages, et cetera. So as you are reflecting upon this particular trip, focused as you were on the smaller communities, what's your sense about the larger entity called Peru? Is this... did you come away saying you know, when we think of places like Brazil or Argentina or any country of that sort, very often it's reflected by just a couple of places. And you were in the more obscure locations, if you will. Most people don't go to these villages, et cetera. But did you also have a sense of the rest of Peru? Herb?
Well, we had the short answer is yes. We had the opportunity to extend our trip a little bit, and we did take some side trips. I went with a couple of other friends, and the three of us did manage to get around. While we were there, coincidentally, they were holding their national elections. Uh-huh. In Peru, voting is a requirement. The way they enforce that is that when you turn 18, you receive an identification card, but that card doesn't allow you much access. You have to vote to receive your more official identification card. So most people were heading upriver or downriver to Iquitos to vote or to their home villages. But throughout the country, that voting took on quite an emphasis in people's awareness and time. And so it's very interesting to see that part of the country. The people are very engaged politically and want their local representatives to be representing them.
Sure.
So that was an interesting thing to see there. The other thing that I thought was unique in our trip is we went to a place called Corral, which is an archaeological site found in the late 1990s, and it's the oldest organized community in South America. It's 4,000 years old, and it's a city that they uncovered and have now turned into an archaeological protected site, which is very, very interesting. And I had no idea that communities that old existed there in Peru, but they do have quite a a lot of archaeological sites.
Mm-hmm. Chantel?
Well, I was going to say before I even heard your comment about them all voting, I actually didn't know that, but it makes sense because I felt that people from Peru definitely have this national sense of pride. Mm-hmm. I could feel that, I suppose. I don't know. Him saying that kind of affirmed that. But the first impression when I got off the plane in Iquitos was just very like a cultural immersion. There were even people on our bus playing music with like, you know, the little hand bongo drum and they were singing and I just have that playing in my head and it was very festive and I just kind of felt like, ooh, I'm already having fun. And so I would love to go back and spend more time there because the 8 days we were there, we were really busy with whatever it was we were planned that day to help with. But it would be so cool to just get to sit and hang out with those same people like you got to be in the same space for
a longer period.
Yeah. Because I could tell that they were sad to see us go to the kids watching us on the boats. They'd wave until we couldn't see them anymore. And anyway, that sense of pride was there.
Yeah. I had the same feeling from the folks I talked with that they're very proud of Peru. And many, many, many seasoned travelers I've talked with say that Peru is a country of choice if they visit South America, mm-hmm. just for the diversity and the character of the community. It's a lot different than it was, of course, 30, 40 years ago when there were rebellions and some of the Shining Path and those folks were trying to get their points across. But now it's much different and safe. And
I've heard that same kind of thing be said about Chile, mm-hmm. that depending upon if you look at the history of the countries, there are different time frames and developments, evolutions, if you will. And it sounds like Peru has reached a place of accommodation and national identity, if you will, but in a welcoming way. Mm-hmm. We're coming toward the end of our time here, and I'm wondering if either of you has something particular you'd like to share with the listening audience that we have not yet addressed. Herb?
Well, I would say that if you have the opportunity and inclination, do look into the possibility of contributing to some volunteer effort somewhere to become more familiar with the work being done by various organizations. Mm-hmm. This particular one, Be the Change Volunteers, I would highly recommend. They're an excellent group to work with. They do things different from other groups that enable them to become part of the community. And they ask for a long-term commitment, which develops those relationships. And they're not a religious-based organization, but they have strong values and beliefs that accommodate the kind of work they do. And I would encourage listeners to look into that or other groups, similar groups. It's just a worthwhile experience that I think you get a lot out of. And coincidentally, it also gives a lot to the folks that you work with.
Mm. Wonderful. Chantel?
The first thing I thought of was just there were a few girls and boys from our trip that were just out of high school, and I remember how cool it was for them to see their first country that they've never been outside of the U.S. And kind of affirming everything we've said, then Peru didn't feel unsafe to me. So I guess in particular, Peru would be a good place for someone that's looking to, you know, be a part of the Be the Change organization or the Amazon outreach like me, but just to go do good for someone outside of ourselves and kind of just get that first experience of being in a new culture and seeing poverty for the first time. Anyway, I guess those 18-year-olds that were on the trip with me, then it really impacted them, and it also made their parents feel good to know that they were somewhere that wasn't unsafe, mm-hmm. but they were doing a big change. So I guess if that made sense, just to say that if you're going to go do something, then don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to leave our comfort zone in the U.S. Go out to whether it's Peru or somewhere else to do a program like this and make a difference.
My observation looking at the two of you is that Chantel, you're a little bit younger than Herb, so you represent two perspectives on this whole approach to going out into the world, if you will. So,
well, I really like what you said. It's well said, and I want to compliment that by pointing out that the group I went with, my two friends and I were all 70 and older, and the same applies to us, mm-hmm. that it's safe, it's enjoyable, it's interesting, it's invigorating, and it's a contribution that makes us work harder at doing those kinds of things. And I would encourage any retired folks or seniors or elders or people with the ability to take the time to do it. And yeah. I think that it would be well worth it for them as well.
Totally.
Okay, Mike Malevsky here with Radio Free Palmer. And I want to once again thank Chantel Grober and her bishop for coming in and sharing two different perspectives on a country that we have heard about and perhaps now know a little bit more about. Thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks.